Welcome. Thank you for coming tonight as we share together from the Word of God. I prepared a lesson tonight called Caring from the Cross, how Jesus cared for others from the cross, and when we have challenges, if you will, crosses in our life, how we can begin to care for others, even in the midst of our pain. In some ways, it's a follow-on to this morning's lesson on forgiveness. The Apostle Paul said, I've resolved to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. By that, I don't believe Paul meant he only had one sermon, and that was on the crucifixion. I believe what Paul is saying is the center and core of the Christian message and his preaching was on Jesus and the cross. You see, Paul related everything to the cross. Our new life in Christ was related to the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. So this evening, as we talk about caring from the cross, what we wish to do is see how Jesus cared for others and how we can begin to emulate that in our own lives. There are many things that attract me to Jesus, but one thing I find very attractive is the fact that he lived completely and accurately and fully the message he taught. You know, you'll know the little saying, practice what you preach. Jesus had that one down. Jesus definitely practiced what he preached. He didn't just expound a wonderful message. He just didn't give a philosophy. He lived himself the example of what he wanted to teach and share with others. I remember a time when I was visiting Willard in the hospital. Willard was an elder of a congregation near us in Washington. I had known him over the years, and Willard was only days from death. And I'd gone to the hospital in an effort to try to encourage him and to be kind to him. But instead, guess what? He was the one who was encouraging and loving on me. Because that was just Willard. That was his character. That's who he was. After a couple of minutes after I asked, hi, how are you and how are you doing? He turned the conversation of how was I and how were the kids when our kids were young enough to be called kids. I'd gone to encourage him and here he was encouraging me. You see, Willard practiced what Jesus practiced, caring for others in the midst of the crises, the crosses of life. And Willard's example came because he knew Jesus and he followed that example of Jesus, of caring in the midst of crisis and hurt. Let me share these points with you this evening. Jesus cared for his torturers. Now, that's really hard to do. That's really hard to do. As we noticed this morning, Jesus from the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that statement amazes me. Jesus didn't teach just a theoretical forgiveness. He lived that forgiveness. And I believe it helped his soul to ask God to forgive those who were piercing his hands and feet. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I know of no greater example of love and forgiveness than Jesus from the cross. Jesus died as the greatest of forgivers. He practiced everything that he preached. And of course, he cared for those, even those who were torturing him on the cross, and cared for their spirits. Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. The physical, emotional, and spiritual pain of the cross was unbelievably intense. Nails pierced his flesh. His back, raw from a flogging, was supported by rough lumber of the cross. He saw the soldiers gamble for his only remaining possessions, the clothing that he wore. He was a public spectacle, an embarrassment, killed as a criminal. He heard the jeers of the crowd. He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ. But I suspect the greatest pain of the cross was not physical nor emotional. I suspect it was spiritual. Because for a time, Jesus bore the weight of your sin and mine on that cross. He cried out to the Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? I believe in that moment on the cross, Jesus' relationship with his Father was broken from the first time in eternity, and Jesus understood what it meant to be alone for my sin and for yours. He was separated from the Father for some time that we might not be separated from God for all time. And on the cross, he who bore our sins became sin for us, Paul writes to the Corinthians. So in this torturous situation, Jesus forgave those who hurt him. Jesus cared from the cross. But secondly, Jesus cared for the repentant thief from the cross. You remember the passage over in Luke chapter 23. I'll begin reading in verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you're under the same sentence? We are being punished justly, for we're getting our deeds deserved. But this man's done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Let's not forget that there were three crosses on that hill of Golgotha that day. There were many crosses in the ancient world reserved for the worst criminals of the era. But two thieves were crucified with Jesus. One of those thieves railed against him, "Aren't you the Christ? Well, save yourself and us, and then we'll believe you." But the other was repentant. "Remember when you come in your kingdom. Jesus, I believe in you." Now, the thief may not have fully understood what the coming kingdom of Jesus was like, but he trusted the man who was on that cross beside him because he saw within Jesus something unique. Jesus caring about the souls of those who were torturing him. He recognized that the man being killed on that center cross was one who was unique in this world because he was not of this world. So Jesus answered him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." In the midst of physical, emotional, and spiritual suffering, our Lord reached out to that repentant thief and ministered to him. Because Jesus was not so self-absorbed in his own pain to fail to reach out to someone who was reaching out to him with a heart of desperation. Jesus ministered from the cross. But we also know that Jesus cared for his mother from the cross. Over in John's Gospel, chapter 19, we read these words beginning in verse 25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his house. This is John's way of writing his own story into the life of Jesus at the cross. That at the cross, Jesus entrusted Mary's care to John. I cannot fully understand Mary's pain at the cross. It's hard for any mother to see their son suffer, amen? Or daughter, for that matter. It's hard for any mother to see her son being crucified as a criminal. Her mind may have gone back to the prophecy of the angel at the birth of Jesus. "He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him a throne of his father David and will reign over the house of Jacob forever." Yet this son of hers was not reigning on some throne. He was being killed on a Roman cross. Had the promises of God failed? Had what God said through the prophet failed? Had the son failed in his mission? Was the king to die? Was the one she had born truly the Son of God if he's on this cross? Or did Mary remember the prophecy of Simeon in the temple with this young child? When Simeon said, "This child is destined to cause the rising and falling of many in Israel, and a sword will pierce your heart also." Because at the cross, Mary felt the dagger of pain in her own heart as her son bled on that cross. Certainly Mary's soul was pierced at the cross to watch Jesus there. And John's Gospel tells us that Mary stood near that cross. In the midst of suffering on the tree, Jesus made sure his mother was going to be cared for. You remember Jesus was the oldest of several in his family. It was Jesus' responsibility to see mom would be cared for. Likely this means that Joseph has passed on at this point in life. We can't prove that, but most scholars think that. And Jesus takes the care of his mother his own personal responsibility and shares that with John at the cross so his mother's needs will be taken care of. In the midst of his pain, Jesus was caring for his mother at the cross. When we think of these three examples of Jesus, it then begins to cut our own souls, and we ask, in what ways can we care from the crosses of our life? Our crosses are not the cross of Calvary, but our crosses are real. They're moments of pain, they're moments of heartache, they're moments of desperation, they're moments of fear. We bear crosses in our life as well. But remember, caring from the cross does not mean that we do not suffer, does not mean that there's no emotional, physical, or spiritual pain in the experience. Caring from the cross is not an escapism from reality, but an engagement with reality that balances truth. Because Jesus fully experienced that physical and emotional and spiritual pain of being separated from his Father and dying physically for our sins. His feet and his hands would throb from the nails. The rawness in his back as his back bled on the wood, on the timbers. He heard the jeers from the crowd. He bore the punishment for my sins in his spirit. And he experienced that separation from the Father for my guilt. But yet in the midst of that pain, we do not escape our pain, but we balance our pain when we feel that pain of our crosses, and we still choose, like my friend Willard, to get involved in the life of the other, to begin to reach out to someone else to see what we can do to help them. Secondly, caring from our cross keeps us connected with people, and that's important for them and for us. Because when we hurt, it's natural to kind of withdraw into my shell. You know what I'm talking about? Kind of pull within myself. Whether that pain I experience is emotional or physical or spiritual, it's so easy for me to withdraw into my shell. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus stayed connected with people through his pain. And as we stay connected with people through our moments of pain, we will be caring from the crosses of life in a positive way that helps balance the pain that we're feeling. No, it will not cause our pain to subside, but it will balance it and give meaning to the situation in which we find ourselves. Isolation is a self-imposed sentence. And when he hurt, it's natural to withdraw and to lick our own wounds. Yet we can be so blessed when we continue to connect with others and think about others. It brings wholeness to our soul. And that's point number three. It seems to me like Satan's final temptation for Jesus was to try to get Jesus to focus on himself instead of upon fulfilling the Father's will. Over in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus foretold his coming suffering and death on the cross. And you remember what Peter said? Never, Lord. I'm not going to let you go to the cross. Even when Jesus was arrested, what was Peter doing? Wielding the sword to try to protect Jesus from those who were coming against him. But do you remember what Jesus told Peter when Peter said, never, Lord, you're not going to suffer. You're not going to die. I'm going to protect you. I'm with you all the way, Jesus. You remember what Jesus said to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. Exactly. It wasn't get behind me, Peter. It was get behind me, Satan. Because Jesus knew it was Satan who was moving Peter to be so defensive of his coming death. Here's a hard concept to accept. God's greatest value is not my ease and my comfort or my wealth or my health or even my life. God's greatest value is my soul. And what God cares for more than anything else is not the pain that we experience, but the heart that responds to that pain. I'm not saying that God does not care about pain. I'm not saying that God cannot bring us solace. What I'm saying is in the midst of the crisis, Jesus Christ would not allow Satan to tempt him to leave that cross or to fail to go to that cross in order to escape the pain. Our spiritual wholeness matters to God. And nothing else matters as much to him as that sense of spiritual wholeness. Paul refers to this in the Philippian letter, in Philippians chapter 2, when he says each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to what? The interest of others. And who does he give as example one? Jesus Christ, doesn't he? Jesus Christ. Let me turn and read that passage to you. You're probably very familiar with these words from Philippians chapter 2. Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, who in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to be held on to tenaciously. But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness, he found himself in the appearance of a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The way Jesus died on the cross, by caring for others, to getting outside himself, not just concentrating on his own pain, but thinking about others in the midst of his pain, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Caring for others, even in the crosses of our life, keeps our soul whole. It's Jesus' way. It was my friend Willer's way. We save our life by losing it and staying connected to others when we feel like we want to withdraw, when we want to come away from people, when we want to lick our own wounds, when we want a pity party for one. Yet when we experience Jesus' way of caring for others, even in the midst of our pain, we find our pain more endurable and our heart more blessed. Jesus did not die only for our sins. He left us an example that we should follow in his steps. He cared for others from the cross. In the midst of his pain, he stayed connected with others. It's as simple, or shall I say, as difficult as it is. And I know that this is one thing to preach a sermon and another one to live it. But that doesn't mean that we should not try to continue to minister in the midst of our pain and serve. Because in the midst of that pain, as we reach out to others, we find a wholeness in our heart that beats the comfort and the release of the pain itself. Again, I don't mean to say that caring from our cross is easy, but it's right and it's best. Because difficulties are a part of life. And some of you are carrying some crosses tonight. Some of you may be carrying the crosses of strained relationships or broken relationships. Some of you may be carrying the crosses of unemployment or underemployment. Everyone's cross is different. Health issues, all kinds of issues that we carry. Each cross is different. So the pain we bear may not be exactly like Jesus bore on his physical cross. But yet when we get outside ourselves and connect with people and seek to honor God and seek to minister to others like Jesus did, it carries us through those cross moments of our life because those cross events test our souls. And Jesus passed the test with flying colors in God's eyes. He did not turn on himself in self-pity. He did not escape the pain through drugs. He was offered drugs, you remember that? He did not lash out in retaliation. And he endured to do the Father's will. I'm not trying to be Pollyanna about pain. Jesus certainly wasn't. He knew hurt. And I'm not advocating some kind of, don't worry, just be happy philosophy. Jesus refused, however, to dull the pain because he wanted to feel the pain for my sin and for yours. He was committed to enduring the pain and not evading it. Escapism was not the answer for Jesus. Engagement was. So we learn from our Master how to care for others from the cross, whatever those crosses of life bring us. In the last decade, God has brought faithful care to me through some crosses, heart surgery, job loss. And I'm not saying those things are easy. But those things are possible to endure with faith and faithfulness because of Jesus. Because Jesus didn't just give us a bunch of platitudes of how to live. He lived it from his very own non-padded cross. It's taking on the character of Christ that keeps us through the crosses and pains of life. I'm convinced if only one soul was in need of salvation, Jesus would have died on that cross for him or for her. I want you to see the death of Jesus on the cross as a very personal thing, that he died for you and for you and for me. You were on his heart. He took the nails because of you. So don't let the sacrifice be in vain. Become his child. Become his disciple. Become a Christian. Become his follower. Accept the offer of forgiveness of sins that comes only through the blood of Jesus. When we turn to him in faith, a heart of repentance to say no to sin and yes to Jesus, and to learn from Christ by beginning to initiate a new life by being baptized into him, where our sins are forgiven through the blood of Christ, and we rise to walk a new life following Jesus as Master and Savior. Tonight, if you've not yet owned the name of Christ, been baptized into him, we want you to accept that call. Or if you need the prayers of this body of Christ, because brothers and sisters, the crosses are not easy, but the one on the cross makes it bearable. If we can be of assistance to you, let your wishes be known. Come as we stand and as we sing.